Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
More dirt and spray.
Where are you going? And he's like, I'm going bowling. I just started laughing because I'm like, of course you're going bowling on a random Tuesday night.
Sounds like
night.
A great Tuesday night.
It's breakfast time with Dirt and Sprague.
Now, do you have your own ball?
I have two balls.
Starting your day with a big cup of dirt and a little splash of spray.
Your spare ball, you don't want it to hook as much, so it will go straighter. And then the strike ball, you want to be able to get some crank on that.
Heat on that.
When you hit the pocket, you get big pin action.
Well, everybody wants to hit the pocket. I mean, come on now.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, welcome back in. Let's do this final hour. Dirt and Sprague here, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday to you. Hope you had a great weekend.
Ready.
It's been a fun show, turning and burning. 3 hours down, 1 hour to go. I got some odds and ends in the college football world to get to, including one, this should be illegal. Two, it's about damn time. And three, is everybody on board with making fun of this? All that to come here a little bit later on here in the final hour of the radio program. We are just a little over a week away from the start of the National Football League. A week from Wednesday, we get Seahawks versus Patriots, and the NFL season will kick off on that night. We get Niners and Rams in Australia the very next night. And yesterday was cut down day in the National Football League. Let's start with a couple of, I think, bigger ticket items, and then we can kind of work our way through it because there's a lot to digest. We already talked about the Aaron Donald signing a one-year deal with the Rams. That's massive, and I think to your point, it's just really hard on paper to see anybody else other than them winning a Super Bowl this year, but history will tell us it's hard, and the favorite doesn't often do it in the National Football League. Biggest story other than Aaron Donald this weekend, is it Josh Jacobs being placed on the exempt list for the Packers, a team with big expectations? Not that we're surprised, but also there goes some running back depth. We don't know if he's ever going to play in the NFL again. And they then followed up with trading for a running back in order to add a little bit of depth because they don't know when he's going to be available.
I'd be hard-pressed to find a bigger story.
Yeah,
I thought it was a little shocking Keenan Allen got a Dewey.
Keenan Allen did get a Dewey over the weekend, yeah.
He's been in the NFL for a long time.
Right after getting signed by the Colts. Brutal timing, man.
Somebody jokingly made a video of Denzel chugging vodka in a parking lot and said, this is Keenan Allen after playing with Anthony Richardson. So that was great. I was like, good Lord, man. The internet is just a ruthless.
That's good shit right there.
It has to be Josh Jacobs.
Yeah.
Because are they really going to be able to fill in what he provides? I loved when they got him. He's been awesome for them. We don't have any idea what the timeline of this, like when the commissioner puts you on this list, it's not some set given time.
No idea.
I haven't seen any follow up other than I think a trial date is in November.
There's some sort of court date starting sometime in November. And
like,
so
that's
he's
a
out.
Long time, dude.
Unless somehow it's settled before then, which I don't think.
Maybe unless the charges get dropped.
Yeah, we've seen that. And then you get hit with a suspension. Maybe they give you time served and all that. But if it does not get settled before that, I mean, yeah, you're not getting off this list until the court case starts proceeding. And to your point, that's not until November, man. That's 3 months from now.
So, yeah, huge effing deal at Green Bay where a lot of expectation, huge year for LaFleur. You know, Parsons is coming back from the ACL. And, like, Watson's probably their best receiver, but, like, he can't stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
The tight ends got hurt last year. Golden, we'll see what he can be in his second year. I think I'm somewhat encouraged by it, although I'd like to have seen him get the ball more. Yeah, man. Josh Jacobs has to be, I think, the biggest deal outside of Aaron Donald deciding to come back in the National Football League. I looked through the cut-down list because, you know, I'm not following every one of them.
No, a lot of the names you don't know.
You get the local ones, like Skylar Thomas made the Bears.
Yeah,
that was a shocker.
That was cool.
I think he's a good football player from Oregon
State.
Former Beef. But, like, when Will Levis is at the top of the list, is that like a big deal? I don't know.
I didn't look up. Did the Native American guy make the Cowboy roster?
He just got waived.
Oh, dang it, that's a bummer. He would have been a really cool story. The vibes would have been good on my Super Bowl pick, the Dallas Cowboys, this year, and they kept him around. Yeah, I think you look at Green Bay, and what makes it complicated, too, this is obviously a very human story. This is a sports show, and so the other side of it is of note for us.
Yeah.
Like, this is a massive year for them, man. Like, you talk about teams coming into this year with pressure to perform at the highest level when it's needed in the playoffs. There's not many that are on that list prior to Green Bay, and they're coming into the season now with question marks at running back. After that move was made on the commissioner's list, they made a trade for Caleb Johnson, a guy who I thought was dominant at Iowa and was going to be a game changer in the NFL. He played in 10 games last year. He had 69 rushing yards for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like, he did nothing.
And Lloyd is okay as a backup.
Right? And then to your point and the question marks about the weapons and wide receiver and health and all that, it's a massive year in terms of expectations. The other side of the ball, too, you mentioned Parsons. He's on the PUP list to start the year, so he's not available at least for the first 4 weeks of the season. That's not a surprise, but just the idea of, like, he ain't even going to be around until week five. And so, big year ahead. I'm not shocked in the least that Josh Jacobs got put on the exempt list. Some of the details that were continued to come out were horrifying, and the NFL really only had one way to respond, and so they did, and he will now be out for an unforeseeable amount of time.
I think the other part I keep wondering, because you're right on the Packers, what will they be this year?
Like, how many teams have more pressure on them to not championship? Like, Rams are at a different level. That's like kind of title or bust for them.
The Niners, I don't...
To win a playoff game.
Oh.
Right? Like that.
To win a playoff game?
Like, you got to get to the playoffs and win a playoff game, bare minimum. Chargers, you can throw at me. That's fine.
Yeah. Chargers definitely won. Houston might be in this weirdly, even though they've won a playoff game
every
the last
year.
2 years, because of the CJ Stroud contract stuff.
Yeah.
Like, if they lose in wild card weekend,
you feel like you're regressing, then you're even taking a step back. It's like, we're not.
If they lose, that means he probably wasn't very good, right? So I'd probably go there.
The way that they blew that game to Chicago last year and let it slip through their fingers twice against them at the end of the season.
It's unfair, Philly. I think, but in a way, like, if Detroit doesn't, with Dan Campbell, like, I think people are going to start asking out loud.
Didn't even make the playoffs last year.
Is he still the guy?
Right.
Chicago and Caleb and what his financial, you have to go to what the financial futures of some players are. Like, Caleb is in line right now to get the deal, but if they miss the playoffs or he doesn't play as well and they, I don't think Ben Johnson, the way he comes off to me is I'm not married to any of this. It's working, but if it doesn't work, I'm not married to it. So I think there's a handful of teams. I'm more so looking at the NFC. Green Bay, Detroit, San Francisco, Dallas, I think you throw into this. Mm-hmm. They might be another team, by the way, in this category for you of like,
oh, for sure.
Gotta win a playoff game.
Dude, Dallas
Cowboys, man.
Yeah, man, not winning a playoff game again.
I think I just look at that cluster and I go into the season. The AFC is a fascinating landscape. Who is going to live up? Who is not going to? The NFC to me is right now, I'm going into the season, it's Seahawks and Rams.
Yeah. Who are third and fourth on our big boards?
And then it's everybody else.
Everybody else.
And I don't know how you sort this. We have to wait and see if some of it. But I'm more fascinated by who will jump into that stratosphere.
Is there a surprise team? Is it the ones we expect?
I just don't expect a Seattle or a Ram fall off. I don't. I think they're going to be right back near the top of this after everything we've seen. So it's more so who will jump into the fray and either live up to hype or surprise us a little. Like Minnesota with Kyler Murray.
Yeah, could that be a team?
They could be the team that's like, holy crap, dude. They're 6-1, and look at the way they play. And Kyler's actually been good, and they're using him right. And Jefferson has been a monster. And, like, the NFC is a lot harder, in my opinion, to sort out the best teams, whereas the AFC, it's so open.
Right.
Like, you could say Denver's at the top. You could go in with Baltimore optimism.
Buffalo, yeah.
Right? New England made the Super Bowl.
Mahomes is still around. If you believe in it, he's still around.
The NFC, to me, is too top-heavy, and who will jump into the fray? Yeah. The other thing I noticed with running down the camp cuts.
Yeah.
And we kind of forgot about this, but I want to replay it. You may remember this audio involving a player who got cut by his team. He didn't get drafted that long ago by them, but he's been a massive disappointment, and the team finally cut him. Take us back to this great rant.
Why would a lion concern himself with the opinion of a sheep? He added. The person that's commenting on my performance, what does he do? Flip hot dogs and hamburgers somewhere? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I'd cut his ass. I would. How dare you? How dare you? These people pay your salary. They pay an obnoxious amount of money to park, an obnoxious amount of money for PSLs to sit there and watch this pap, and you call them hamburger flippers? What, you're so much better? I'd rather have a guy that's flipping hamburgers block than your piece of garbage ass. Who the hell are you to talk to fans like that? You piece of garbage. I hate when players do that. You're not above us. What, because you happen to play a sport? You make them, you're better than me? You're better than the people that pay your salary? These Giant fans were here before you, and they'll be here after your sorry ass is cut.
Don LaGreca with the win. Evan Neal got cut this weekend by the Giants.
That is an all-time rant, dude. That is so good. What a swing and a miss in the draft, man. Giants fans probably don't care because they were all wrapped up in OBJ making the roster, too, and he ended up making the team. And so you got that nostalgia play. Yeah, that has been a miss from day one of the draft, which is since they drafted him, which is a shocker considering where he was taken. That was when I missed in the cutdowns. There's so many different names that float around that you just kind of lose sight of some of them.
Will Levis coming out.
Will Levis and the Mayo Man is one that I saw that Will Levis got
cut. He's like, there's not 32 quarterbacks in this league better than me starting. And I'm like,
yeah, well, it might be 64 of them.
Bon voyage, Will.
See you later, buddy. Some of the other notes out of the weekend. God, that's such a good rant. Not a surprise again. I'm curious to see how the position plays out this year because I'm with you. I don't expect a drop-off from them. Charbonnet was put on the PUP list to start the year again.
Yeah.
ACL tear, not a surprise. He's going to be out for at least the first four games.
The reason they took a running back.
That running back, though, we also have not seen play. He was a little banged up in camp. Nothing overly alarming, but he just, you know, little bumps and bruises here or there, and he did not play, I don't believe, in the preseason. Their last preseason game was Friday. Was it Friday night? Yeah, I think Friday night in Kansas
Chiefs.
City.
Yeah.
And I watched bits and pieces of it on Friday night sitting around the house. And so it's a big question mark for them.
9-9 thriller, I think, that final.
It was such an ugly football game, too. Dude, they were raving about Jalen Milroe on the broadcast, and I'm like, are you watching the same game
I'm
watching?
Didn't he play, like, dog crap the game before that?
He's not very good, but, you know, I don't get paid by the team.
Let the Ferrari out of the garage once in a while, Jalen.
They were such a run-heavy offense last year, and when you go back and look at some of the analytics and metrics of how dominant they were in that category, how much they built their passing attack on play action, right? Like, I think Darnold's living in a different world now, confidence-wise. He's not needing to prove himself anymore.
The pressure has
to be
off.
He just won a championship, dude. Like, the rest of your life is gravy, and he's a hero forever in Seattle for that reason. It's a very short list of quarterbacks who've won a Super Bowl there, only two of them. And so, but I also just question what, I'm just curious, what is the offense? Does Price fill in right away and become, dude, we didn't even miss a beat, man. This guy was a can't-miss prospect at the end of the draft. We're running the ball great. We can get our play-action stuff. All that's going to be great. Or do they take a slight step back? And then if they do in that category, does Darnold and the weapons around him now have enough, you know, they've worked together for a number of years, not 2 years, I guess it would be, but a good skill group of wide receivers, the offensive player of the year, and they maybe pick up the slack offensively, and you just kind of change the way that you looked from a year ago. Charbonnet, not a surprise being on the PUP list. It just, to me, if I'm looking at question marks going into the year for Seattle, is how efficient are they running the football, and do they stay healthy at that position? Because you're not going to have Charbonnet for at least the first month of the year, and can your rookie carry a load? Because that's not always a guarantee for a rookie running back in the NFL.
You know, the thing I look back to is, and this doesn't just pertain to the Seattle Seahawks, but you look at last year, we had three 14-win teams, and we had eight teams with 12 wins or more.
It's a very top-heavy league last year.
Well, we matched that. Jacksonville, 13 wins.
I don't think so.
Seahawks, Broncos, 14 wins. Patriots, 14 wins.
Yeah.
Texans, who I think started the year like 1-3 or
something. They got off to a rough start.
They finished 12-5, red hot at the end. The Bills were 12-5, and the Niners were a surprise 12-5. It's impossible to say you don't see it, but it's hard. Like, I just wonder with some of these teams what the regression's going to be.
Teams are
going to
regress.
Just in that 8-team cluster.
Yeah, it's the idea of, we do this in college football, right? Like, somebody in the top 10 is going to finish the year outside of the top 25. It happens every year.
Well, how many teams?
Who's going to pick it? We can't do it, but.
But of those eight teams I just named, Denver, Seattle, New England, Jacksonville, Rams, Houston, Bills, Niners, how many of those regress? You think New England is?
I think a handful of them will. Picking who is it going to be? Like, then I'd be in Vegas if I could do
well,
that.
Well, no doubt about it. But, right. Like, how many of those will there be? Because unlike
I'd say
college,
three or four at least.
It has to be,
three
right?
or four at least. And I'm not saying fall off the cliff, but don't make the playoffs. Yeah, dude. We get half of the pools new every year.
Yeah.
That's the way the NFL works. And we go into every year being like, how could that be possible? And then we get a Seahawks-Patriots Super Bowl that nobody predicted at the start of the
year. Yeah, there's no doubt about
right?
it.
Right? So that's just – some of those teams are going to regress. You have a hard time doing it on paper right now.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that Seattle is going to be one of them. I'm just saying you just that's the reality of the league, man. Every year, it's a different sport. It's a different system. And so I love what they got to coach. I love the Hard Knock season. I couldn't have been more wrong on. It's been fantastic. If I'm looking for something, like we do this time of year, like if they are not to hit their expectation, what is it going to be? And I think people are overlooking a little bit how dominant their run game was incorporating into their entire offense. And if they cannot do that this year with a bit of a two-headed monster at that position, is their passing game, their weapons are good enough, but will their passing game be good enough to overcome those weaknesses?
Well, I think one, Darnold kind of gave you some assurances that you feel fine about it, that you're not going in worried. I think Seahawk fan is not overlooking this. Like if you go read a lot of the message board type stuff.
Yeah, that's the concern.
It's a general level of like, what is this going to be this year? You can't be awful in the run game and expect to be dominant.
It's hard to do as an offense. Unless your defense just carries you a week. I mean, Houston's been inept offensively, and they're still in the playoffs every year because their defense
we're
is that
10
good.
Teams better than, by the way, in rush yards per game
okay.
in the NFL.
So they're 11th
year.
In the league in rushing yard per game?
And per game, yeah. They were 11th in the NFL. Yeah. Yeah, they were barely above the Chargers in this category. You had teams like the Jets, the Cowboys, the Falcons, the Giants, the Commanders.
The Giants.
Those are all non-playoff teams. Yeah. So it's not so much like, can you get exactly what you got last year? In total yards, they finished with 2,096. They were tied with the Jets,
mm-hmm.
and the Jets were one of the most miserable teams in the NFL. To me, it's about what is that fall off from a total yardage standpoint, but how much does just the confidence of a returning quarterback, and oh, by the way, a loaded defense. A defense that...
Oh, the defensive carry. I mean, yeah, the defense is
paid,
the story.
They've been paid, they're experienced, they're still hungry, and that's their coach's number one skill set.
It's a strength, man.
So it's like, whatever I think they lack in their run game this year, if they do, I'd venture to guess is probably going to get made up, unless injuries happen, is going to get made up by their defense climbing even higher than maybe it did last year, and it was already a really solid unit.
The only question I have, really, it's not necessarily about a numbers standpoint of, like, you know, do they rush for X amount of yards? It's mainly, like, does the defense respect it the way it did last year? Because I think the metrics that I look at showcase how impactful their run game was in their pass game, and the play-action pass, mm-hmm. and the way that set up so many different things. And what if you're not respecting it as much as a defense, those other areas will not be as impactful.
So
not even necessarily about the total number of yards or the total yards per game or the total carries. It's just about where are the defense's eyes and what are they paying attention to? And do they feel like they can say, you know what, we could slow down the run game. It's not going to kill us. Let's keep an eye on JSN in the back end and try and bottle him up. Easier said than done. But I felt like they had a run game last year, even though it was 11th in total yards. That was something you always had to pay respect to, and that opened everything else up for them offensively.
Yeah, the Seahawks, according to the metrics, play action rate last year, they were 14.5%.
Okay. I don't know where that ranks in the NFL. those are numbers without context for me. Is that high on the list or low on the list? Oh, yeah, 14.
It's pretty down there, actually.
Okay, so not a huge number.
Like, they were behind the Niners, the Jags, the Panthers, Packers, Texans, Pats, Chiefs, Chargers, Titans in play action rate. I think it's as simple as, like, if your run game gets going early in a first quarter.
Oh, it opens everything else up for you.
I think that,
then you're rolling downhill.
And when you have maybe the best receiver in the NFL.
Very well could.
Who had a monster year last year. They're a fascinating team. The fall off doesn't mean it's bad. Like, what's the floor of the Seahawks if they're not suffering catastrophic injury?
10-7 and just missing the playoffs, it feels like.
You think that's the floor?
I don't see it cratering lower than that. I'm not predicting that.
I would say their floor, to me, is 11 wins. Yeah. Unless they're going to miss somebody like a JSN and a Darnold. Or an offensive lineman at, you know, one of the key spots. Like, I have a hard time believing their floor is below 11 wins.
The NFL can deliver surprises. You never know. Last two quick notes. The Browns did keep all their quarterbacks. They put Dylan Gabriel on IR, pretending he had a back injury to avoid
three tutties, and they said, hey, you're just going to be here, but not be here.
You got a back injury. And the Steelers also kept all four of their quarterbacks. They love the way their young guys played in camp, and so they're going to keep all four around. Mm. And the guys have been raving about their development under McCarthy, so just something to monitor those two quarterback situations. Couple of notes out of the college football world we need to get to next. One of them being, what took you so long? Another one is, can we all jump on and make fun of this team together? I'll explain a little bit. We'll get to that next on The Fan.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. 9:28 on your Monday morning. Hello, everybody. Welcome to College Football Kickoff Week. It's going to be fun all week. I mentioned earlier on the show, Jamarcus Shepherd, head coach at Oregon State, will join us at 7 o'clock on Thursday. A little peekaboo a couple of days ahead of time. We'll have some more on Oregon State throughout the course of the week. They open with – what time's that kick time on Saturday?
9 a.m.
Oh, they got the early bird game.
Yeah. We're going to have to talk
That's
about –
That's perfect. I'll be able to watch it doing the pregame show. I'll have it on the iPad.
Right there
off
on the Espen.
Air, we're not having – I'm not doing the back-to-back guest thing. So we're going to have to move our Thursday Dirty Poll guest.
Oh, I haven't – that has not been booked yet.
No, I'm saying
– Yes, we will not
I'm
do
not
back-to-back.
Doing back-to-back.
Yeah, it will not be back-to-back. Although the team that would be back-to-back would be kind of funny. Who could it be? I don't know. Anybody's guess is as good as mine. Number two, who's it going to be?
Did you guys see that Bonnie Blue had a baby?
Bonnie Blue.
Who?
She's the gal that films making love with 1,000 men or whatever it is.
Oh! Do they know who the father is?
I don't know how you can.
TBD? DNA
how?
Test?
How can you?
Where's Jerry Springer when you need
Well,
him?
Somebody
Jerry,
said Maury Jerry. Might come out of retirement.
I mean, I think on that one, he might have to.
Get that's all 1,000 guys audience right
walking
there.
Down the table. Yeah, give me a DNA swab here. Let's check and see if you are the father.
If your deal is hanging out with a bunch of people at one time for a sideways party, do what you want to do. There is no chance you know with absolute confidence.
Is that where she got pregnant? Or was it at another... I mean, I don't.
She's done it a few times.
She's done a few of them. Yeah, it could have been any of them, is what you're saying.
When you put up Wilt Chamberlain-like numbers.
Those are impressive, dude.
In multiple sessions.
Nobody can hang with those numbers. Nobody's touching those numbers.
I think she's trying to.
Yeah, she's trying to repeat.
And how do you explain that to your kid when they're older? Which one's my dad?
That's a conundrum I'm glad I'm not facing.
Let's watch the video. Look for the eye color.
I got wind of a situation similar to that at a get-together a while back where it was a gal who had asked three different men to have a paternity test, and all three of them came back negative as the father. At which point, do you go to a fourth?
You don't publicly share that you went to a fourth.
It was public knowledge.
I think there'd be nothing worse to find out in my life than you're not the father.
Oh, yes.
Like if it was hidden from you?
If that was not revealed at the time and you found out at a later date, yeah.
My cousin was once on one of the Jerry Springer Maury shows for Who's the Father.
Was he the father?
No.
No? He'd probably be pretty relieved, I'd imagine.
It was kind of an embarrassment for our family.
Was it?
Shocking, I know.
Maury.
You are...
not.
Boy, nobody hung on to that line better.
It was such an all-time moment on TV when you'd get those episodes, the paternity test,
and then
the dad and the mom talking trash to each other. That's what I told you!
You'd get to know both, and you'd end up rooting for one over
one
the
side
other.
Or the other. You absolutely would,
like,
dude.
Oh, this guy's garbage. I hope he is the
absolutely
father.
Would.
Oh, my God, she's terrible. I hope he's not the father.
Right, I feel terrible for this child.
And there's a child involved.
There is a kid involved.
And
there.
I'm watching in a living room.
It's so sad, dude. They'd show the kid,
you
backstage.
Are fatherless.
Playing with like blocks. There's like a nanny cam on the room. He's like piling up blocks in the back room.
Depressing.
Just super depressing.
That really, in hindsight, should be like the start point of the collapse
of American society,
of American values in society. Like, what did you watch today?
It's pretty high up there on the big board, man.
I watched a lady not properly identify the father of a child on television. What?
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where we're at right
he
now.
Did the Deion Sanders high step, mom.
Ooh.
Because he doesn't have child support payments.
You know what else is embarrassing? Not having fans at your games. How about this stadium? Quote, we understand the factors that impacted Saturday's attendance. We have high expectations in a premier home schedule this season. Mm. We know the competitive advantage an electric Coliseum atmosphere can provide our program. We thank our fans who showed up Saturday. We look forward to seeing increased attendance for the rest of the season. When your lack of attendance is such a big deal that you feel like as an athletic department and a university, you need to release a statement on how few people were there because it was on NBC on Saturday and kind of a standalone window and everybody's saying the same thing of like, damn, there is nobody at that game.
Well, they kept showing the overhead aerial view of the stadium.
Like, it's help. Like 17 people here. I did have a brief takeaway and I understand it is a much bigger topic. I'm making a bit of a mountain out of a molehill.
No,
but
I think you said this earlier, and you should say it again because you're right.
Well, I had a thought of, like, that game happened, and then the Stanford game was right after that. Oh. I don't even know if I've said this, but this is, like, my thought was, this is why the Pac-12 died, dude.
Yeah.
We can make
that
fun of other parts.
Stupid,
no doubt about it. And, again, that's not the only reason, but it's like, we love making fun of people in other pockets of the country of like, it just means more. You want to see them play Tarleton State? And they're like, yeah, we do. And maybe that's why their conference still exists. Now, you could say it's a much healthier sports life balance of it doesn't mean as much. There's so many things to do in Los Angeles. I'm fully aware of that. It's a big city with lots of different attractions. But also,
well, do we think
not giving a rip is part of the reason the conference died, man?
It's a big issue. There's no getting around that.
Like, Stanford didn't care when they were winning conference championship games. People didn't even go to their damn games.
Stanford's a whole separate thing.
It's a very odd institution in general.
Yeah.
Now they would at least have people show up at the height of it, but it wasn't like passionate diehard.
No, never.
They have their fans, but they're not. Dude, there was less people at the Stanford game than there was the USC game.
That's a power four team, baby. Got to get that TV revenue because so many people in the Bay Area are just glued to Stanford football games.
Do you think it'll look any different for USC Friday night hosting Fresno State?
If the heat's your excuse, then it
Friday
should.
Friday night, it will.
6 p.m. local kick.
They're going to complain about the traffic. It takes so long to get there. Well, too many people.
It'll look better. It'll look better, but it won't look
Now, Saturday, September 12th against Louisiana, forget it. That's an 8 p.m. kick on the Big Ten Network. Forget it.
Jeez.
That's when the
fill those TV windows, man.
Game against Louisiana.
Got to fill those TV windows, baby.
I think you're right, and I also think it's perfectly sane to say out loud, like this is an example, however many in this era of USC football, of you've lost. You haven't just lost on the field. You've lost on the field. You cannot get people to show up. Even if it is San Jose State, dude, I get it. 100,000 people, that's asking a lot.
Yes,
right?
You're not going to sell the stadium out.
Saban used to give his fans a ton of crap if they didn't show up 100% for their similar non-conference tilts.
UL Monroe's in town and they left in the third quarter to yell at you.
Right. When you have, I saw this. There could not have been more than 12,000 people at that game.
It was insane.
And so, like, that is the sign of the health of your program. They may very well take a step and be a playoff team.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this. Aside from the sickos who study all day on the internet, you got Mayava. Does anybody know what he sounds like?
No, he's not.
In fact, you could probably line up 20 players. I don't know if I'd be able to right away pinpoint him. Maybe you can. I don't know if I can. And that's another big problem. In L.A., what do they sell? Flash, sex, fun, excitement.
Yeah. Luka Doncic, Shohei Ohtani.
That's been a lot of USC outside Caleb Williams for the season and a half.
No, that was the one thing I just wanted to push against because I saw a lot of that of like, guys, it's hot. There's lots to do in L.A. It's like when you were rolling, people showed up, man. You opened against San Jose State in 2009. It was 1,000 degrees and you sold the damn place out.
Yeah, in 105
degrees.
The sidelines.
Like, it used to be a hot ticket. It used to be a place that you were excited to go see a game. And that just is not – Lincoln Riley could get them there this year. If they go 11-1 and pull off some big upsets along the way, by all means, dude, people will come out in droves and go to their games. I read that more as an overall sign of like how disinterested USC fan is, because nobody wants to go. This is why I'm so half chub over the weather in Eugene on Saturday. That first game of the year usually blows weather-wise, and it's way too hot, and you're cooking out in the sun, but it's the opener, and it's like, man, I'm so excited for football to be back that you kind of put up with it and you sit through it. So I certainly understand that argument to it. The point is just simply you're willing to go through things and suffer maybe a little bit as a fan if you're thrilled about the positioning of the program and where you're at and your overall expectations of where things are going to go. And I just don't think the vast majority of USC fans are there, rightfully so. Lincoln Riley has woefully underperformed in his time there.
He's been
a massive disappointment.
Hugely disappointing.
They've sniffed the playoff one time, and that is it. And every other story is the same story. They're good, but not good enough.
They didn't hire him to sniff
the playoff. No, you're USC. This isn't Northwestern. We got a hard schedule. How are we going to survive? You're USC, dude. You're supposed to be a flagpole of the West Coast. And so, yeah, it was a huge takeaway from a lot of people around the country. And I took it away as another sign of like, yeah, man, that's why our conference doesn't exist anymore, because it doesn't mean more for most of us.
UVA and what they did to NC State, even if NC State's terrible, like, you know, the age of the roster, they made the title game last year. You know, that's certainly worthy. Belichick, it feels like, got his first college win because now we have to write articles about how they're back. They're so back.
Here he comes.
I honestly think you can say it may have been the takeaway of the whole week zero.
Yes.
Was their attendance.
Florida State is as down as I've ever seen a fan base. They sold out their stadium for New Mexico State.
Yeah.
And it wasn't as hot. It was a night game, so there's your there's a difference between selling out and having nobody there.
But how many years of your lives, how often is USC, like, think about the landscape of sports there, right? We regularly make fun of the LA NFL teams because
they don't have fans.
When the Niners show up, it's red.
Yes.
That's why they're having this game in Melbourne, by the way.
The Chargers play away games all year. They have no home games.
The Chargers are the most irrelevant. The Chargers are the Clippers of the NFL.
Yes.
But, like, run down the landscape, because I would venture to guess, if I was to put real money, I would say number one is the Dodgers.
Yep, without a doubt.
A very close second, if not a 1A, 1B, it's the Lakers, because it's the Lakers and they got Luka.
Yep.
I don't think three is USC. I think three is the Rams. The Rams have Myles Garrett, Matt Stafford, Puka Nacua, Devontae Adams, Aaron Donald is back. Like, they may not have every sellout of their home games, but that is ahead of USC. USC has fallen so beneath it. They're lucky the Angels exist. They're lucky the Clippers exist. They're lucky the Ducks exist. They are fourth fiddle. They have fallen to irrelevance in the LA landscape.
Yeah.
And
winning cares at all, but if you don't do it, man, people are just going to check out further.
I don't know if it does, man. I think that team, their expectations used to be title. They were familiar with that. And then Clay Helton got there. It didn't work so well, right? Yeah, the Lane train didn't work. And dude, Lincoln Riley was supposed to bring this back to the forefront, dominate the West Coast. Has not been to a playoff.
No.
It has been utterly disappointing, and I think the city and the fan base is like, you know what, we'll show up when the games matter. By the way, let's check to see how much green and gold is at that game when the Oregon comes down there.
Or when Ohio State comes to town. It's hard to keep those fans out anywhere, but yeah.
Like, keep track of that, but like, other than that, man, that was pitiful.
When the university has to release a statement, it tells you that they were alarmed at how few people were there. And don't pretend that that's not something you're paying attention to behind the scenes when you're going into a pivotal make or break year. We had Ryan Abraham on Friday when you were out.
Yeah,
what did he say? He said 7-5, he's gone, which is the right, like, you have
how
to fire.
How is 8-4 not gone?
Right.
How are you excusing 8-4?
In year five.
In year
man.
Five.
I got one thing we'll get to collectively in the final segment. Last little note here. It doesn't need a lot of time, but just, you know, thank you. I appreciate it. Did you see what the Big Ten announcer are going to start doing? We're going to get fresher injury reports 3 days before kickoff. It's a new conference rule. So finally,
God sanity bless gambling
has prevailed, and we got to let you know who's in.
What other reason would that be for? It's you just for gambling.
It used to just be just before kick, if I'm not wrong, or day of the game. You would get one on Saturday, so you would get these like speculations online Friday night, who's playing, who's not playing. That's now out the window. 3 days before kick, you have to start submitting an availability report in the Big Ten. That is a new rule.
You said something hilarious last Thursday before I left, and you go, dude, I just love, like, NFL Network is showing me practice film from the practices, and there's fans out there, and there's running
10,000 people at Seahawk practice, but we can't have a reporter go to college practice.
What happened in your college practice?
Can't say it. Can't let you know.
So dumb.
Let's all collectively make fun of this institution, and we'll wrap it up there next on The Fam.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast. Available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. 9:46. Monday morning. Got a lot still to get to throughout the week as we get closer to the return of college football on a full slate.
Let's do a poll question on this based on an off-air conversation.
Okay.
What was the worst thing from the weekend? The Timbers losing at home embarrassing fashion to one of the worst teams in the sport.
Let me open up Twitter. I'll put this one out.
Okay.
USC crowd has to be in that.
Okay. NC State. Or what would the fourth?
TCU.
I mean, it's not like they lost by 20. They lost by 5. I love that we're acting like North Carolina steamrolled them, by the way these articles are written. I'm like, come on, dude.
That game was horrible.
Yeah.
Like, just genuinely jaw-droppingly bad.
We have a better candidate than that?
If you want to go FCS.
I think TCU needs to be in there just because of how much fun we made of North Carolina. And how they were the laughingstock of the sport last year.
Put TCU in
and there. To lose that game and score 10 points.
They scored their opening touchdown, and then they couldn't do anything with the football against a team that really isn't that good.
You also had a coach who trash-talked his former quarterback, saying the new guy's not going to turn the ball over and the new guy blows. So that's also a part of it for me. Like, I can't overlook that. Outside of that, anything else happened in other parts of sports other than NC State that I'm missing?
The Mariners got swept.
The Mariners got swept.
There you go. There's your answer.
I mean, I know we have 30-some-odd games left, I think. Like, the Mariners might be.
There's your answer.
What about them feels so promising right now?
Nothing. What was the worst thing that happened this weekend? Timberzell at home, the USC crowd,
yep.
TCU in Ireland, Mariners getting swept.
No NC State.
The only four options. Who am I taking out?
Take out TCU, put NC State in.
Are you sure about that?
They got rolled.
NC State lost by 31 points.
Virginia won 10 games last year. They damn near went to the college football playoff, and they were at home.
But TCU lost by 5. As bad as they were. Think about how bad they were.
I mean, that whole game was just bad.
North Carolina.
And you sickos woke up and watched it.
All right. I'll put it in.
Well, I was awake.
Yeah, so TCU wasn't.
Okay, NC State offense will get added to
this. You should put Tottenham spending $400 million on transfers and can't score a goal in 2 games.
My team pushed with Liverpool. I still got to watch that match.
We have it's the big showdown this Saturday, Forest against the Spurs.
Oh, are you actually going to pay attention?
7 a.m. I've watched both the openers. And
is there a Timbers T2 game you got to watch? I couldn't even get that one out. It's a bad joke.
7 a.m. Saturday.
Wait for them to be near the bottom of the table, then he'll stop caring.
7 a.m. Saturday, we got Tottenham versus
7 a.m. is a delightful little start time.
Yeah.
I'll be on the road not watching that game.
This weekend was a 4:30 one, and I was like, I have no service.
No, but 4:30 in the morning?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the early game back there.
The early birds.
Spurs were at 9:30 on NBC.
Where's the no one cares drop?
Well, I mean, we care. We're talking about
that's true,
it,
other so, than you yeah. two. Last one here for me, as these always bring a chuckle, and they always make me laugh. You know my history and my feud with Eli Drinkwitz, anti-Eli.
I know.
Big year for expectations.
I still haven't seen
a very odd beef.
It's a very odd beef that I'm just not going to let die. Can I add this and see if you want to beef with me? You guys want to beef with me?
If we ever interviewed him in person and I just outright.
He would charm me out. He would win me over.
My co-host is, he does not like you.
Yeah.
Would you tell him to his face why?
I actually don't even really remember why I started disliking Eli. It's kind of become a bit on the show. I don't even remember what the tipping point was for it, and now I'm just going to lean into it.
But you're
it.
Right. He would charm you into like,
oh, he would say something. He'd make me laugh, like his Kansas women joke that he made. You know,
that was
like,
pretty good.
That was pretty funny. How about this, though? They are adding themselves to the list of teams who want to go back in time, way back, and say, you know
this.
What we did.
Yeah.
We want a title.
We want a title.
We want an Addy.
They filed this a couple months ago, I think.
Missouri has officially claimed its first college football national championship. They've left Oregon in the dust. They have one. We have none. From their 1960 team that won the Big Eight and appeared at number one in the AP poll. They have claimed a national championship from 1960.
Were they number one in the final AP poll?
Let me look it up.
Or were just number one at some point in the season?
How much fun would people make fun of my school if they were to do this from the Wolf title a couple of years ago?
Well,
or what would be the better
candidate?
It would
be a Wolf title. It couldn't be the national champion.
Yeah, you'd have to go, like, could you try and do it from 2001?
Say
we got screwed out of the title game of playing in it. We beat Colorado. We're just going to claim a title from that year.
Well, outside of, like, what, George Reister and maybe some other duck, like, nobody with a brain thought they were ever going to beat that Miami
team. Nobody takes this seriously. Yeah. The final rankings that year are as follows. The final 1960 AP rankings, Minnesota's number one. They are the respected national champion.
Yeah.
Mississippi was number two, 9-0-1. Iowa number three, 8-1.
Hmm.
Navy number four, 8-1. Missouri was ranked number five in the final poll. And they are claiming a national championship from 1960.
So, like, what does this do for them outside of being able to say we're national champs? Like, why would you fight for this when you finish there?
I don't get it. And it's in 1960. Why randomly?
Right.
The ironic part about this, this leads you to read up on stuff. Somebody had, like, a bit of a history lesson pointing out how dumb the 1960 season was. So Minnesota was the national champ, quote-unquote, champion that year. They played Washington in the Rose Bowl and lost.
And still got the title credit?
Washington was 9-1. Minnesota was 8-1. Washington finished ranked number 6, and Minnesota was the final AP number 1
Now,
team.
Did they do a poll? So was the poll going into the bowl games?
This is the final rankings. The end of the season after bowl games, final rankings of the year. After they lost to Washington, they still claim a national championship. And Washington had a better record than them. Maybe you can go claim another one, Husky fans. Maybe you should jump into that fray from 1960. Throw yourself another half a title.
We have a listener reaching out via social media.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Portland resident, non-USC fan that was at the game Saturday.
Ooh, how about that? We got boots on the ground.
Boots on the ground.
Okay, love boots on the ground.
Our former boss, always important. Boots on the ground, Brandon. Brandon, you can't beat boots on the ground.
Got to have boots on the ground.
The heat was brutal. High 90s, no breeze, hot plastic seats. Saw four people in our section alone taken out by paramedics. You could not stay in your seat more than 15 minutes before having to leave the stadium for shade. That's a non-USC Portland resident.
Yeah, it's very hot.
Boot on the ground.
Very hot. Upper 90s, very hot.
No breeze.
Drink some water, you candy asses. Toughen up.
Somebody was there, man.
It just means more.
It was somebody that was there.
It just
not
means
even
more.
Not even rooting for the team.
Get your asses to the game, all right?
Can I add to this?
Yeah, what do you got?
I was at the final Gary Anderson Oregon State game because it was at USC. And I will admit, when we were down, whatever that score was.
That was a rough one. That was a rough day for the old bees.
It was never at any one point good.
Never even a competitive game.
Instantly.
1 second in, you're like, nope, I don't need to watch that one. This game's over.
It was like, whee!
What's the final going to be?
We left early.
Yeah.
Because it was brutal sitting in the sun and getting nothing in return.
Football in the sun and sucks when it's too hot. Some people care about their teams, though.
I still think Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart probably sell that thing out.
I think they're packing that house.
Yeah.
I think John David Booty's packing that house. JDB, pack that house.
Mark Sanchez
definitely
packing that house.
That'll do it for us, folks. If you missed it, we had Ole Miss on for the Dirty Poll. They are number 5 in the preseason rankings. Who is number 4? Maybe you want to tune into the first hour tomorrow. Be a bright and early Dirty Poll guest right out of the gate. Tune in. That will do it for us. Thank you so much for being a part of our Monday, everybody. If you missed any of the show, go check the podcast, 1051thefan.com, at Dirt and Sprague, and at 1051thefan on Twitter. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. The Firm. Harrison Meringue is next. Listen to 1051 FM The Fan.
On Reddit, true crime doesn't come from journalists. It comes from the victims, the witnesses, and sometimes the suspects themselves. Every Tuesday on Crimes of Reddit, we read these posts out loud. I'm Sabrina Dianaroga.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. One of us brings the story, the other goes in blind, reacting in real time, just like you.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Crimes of Reddit, available now wherever you get your podcasts.